see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome for this afternoon. Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon on this Thursday. Welcome, family. And here we go. I am going to give a part to the rest of what we're talking about this week about mind control and how the U.S. military has been targeted all along. And you know, I find that you get believers, you get unbelievers, and these are one of the things that Satan and those below him works in the government, works in the European theater, works in these areas of command, of leadership, don't want you to know. Now they try it, they will tell you with controlled opposition what they want you to know. You see, what they'll want you to know. And then what they'll do is they'll deviate. They'll tell you what they want you to know, but they'll leave things out. And that's what they use their controlled opposition for. Now, you're going to find when you start your Bible study, when you start your research, when you try things about what you've learned, you will find interruptions of all kinds. And the folks involved don't even know. They have no idea that sometimes situations, conditions, changes of life manipulate themselves into changing your routine, changing your thought patterns. And a lot of people won't even realize it. Don't even realize what's going on. And even the ones that's being dealt with, having to do it, won't realize it. Those that's in denial will call you crazy because it upsets their lifestyle. upsets their ritual, what they've believed to be true. And for them to be told that everything they've been told is a lie, especially if they have pride in what they've accomplished, is very receptive. Some people really take a hard line look at it. Some of them might even call the police and say, we got a crazy guy here, or girl, or whatever. And you're going to experience that. You're going to have people just look at you and blink their eyes and not know what to say. Others are going to blink their eyes and say, yeah, and start backing up. And others are going to say, I'm going to unfriend you. Yeah, okay, unfriend me. I'm going to block you. Okay, block me. Just don't run an impasse, that's all. So, you see, it's going to come all kinds of different ways. But you know what you've done? Is you've dropped the seed. And that's also necessary. Once you drop the seed, let the Holy Spirit water it. Dust your feet, move on. Can't take all this personal. Because anything that you go through, remember one thing for sure. Whenever you've been through, no matter what it is, lose a job, get beaten up, whatever it is, it don't matter. Whatever you've been through, Jesus Christ went through worse. And so did the disciples. There's nothing that you can go through that Jesus Christ hadn't been through himself or the disciples. You see. It's whatever it is. Even death. And that's coming. But one thing to remember, there is no such thing as death. You know they say that little thing, there's only two things guaranteed, death and taxes? Well, that's not true. We've come to believe that to be true, but it's actually not true. Isn't that what we all say sometimes? That, well, you know, this is for sure. Oh, man, there's nothing for sure these days. The only thing for sure is death and taxes. Chuckle, chuckle, ha ha. Well, actually, no. People don't pay their taxes sometimes anyway. Whatever, that's, I'm not getting into that. That's, don't matter. But death is certainly not a guarantee, because when you die, the body dies. No, it's not over. It's not over. No, it's not over. You're just beginning eternity. And the location at which you're going to end up in eternity has been determined. Except you're not going to be dead. You're going to be alive in the spirit in heaven or hell. And it's all based on your choice. God will give you opportunity. When you've heard the gospel, you are responsible. At that point, Victor Nanai. And God will make sure every human being has received the opportunity for the gospel to be able to accept it or reject it. As a matter of fact, we're not even in the first seal yet. And there's no theologian worth his salt can even begin to tell you we're in the sixth trumpet or the fifth seal or whatever. That's nonsense, totally unbiblical, and they have absolutely no evidence. So all they're counting on is for you to be awed and amazed at their degrees, at the car they drive, the house they have, and five CDs and seven books they've written means absolutely nothing. If they're unbiblical, then everything they've written is worthless. And the only Bible is a King James Bible. Fact, not speculation or opinion. And it can be proven over and over and over and over again. Denial doesn't change the fact that the King James Bible is the only true word of God. And you know, when people get mad at you, hang up on you, block you, whatever, it's because they're mad at something they don't know, or they're mad because they know they're living a lie. If you're living the truth, you have nothing to worry about. And the Holy Spirit guides you along those lines. If I get mad, it's because I know I'm living a lie and you're exposing it. Remember that. Remember that. Jesus had righteous anger in the synagogue from desecrating his temple. It's a whole different ball game. He chased them out. Family, this is practice right now. This is nothing. This is absolutely nothing. It's going to intensify as you get closer to that time. Why does it intensify? Why does it do that? It does that because Satan knows when his time is short, he's going to intensify the activities of billions and billions of demons. I'm going to talk about that tonight at the Bible study, 7:30 to 9. What I was getting around to, though, and I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here in a few minutes, is that at the end of the millennium, the thousand-year millennium, I was talking in regards to God giving everyone the opportunity. There's always been the question, why does God release Satan out of the chains of that thousand years? Why didn't you just throw them all, this Antichrist, false prophet, Satan? Just do it then after Armageddon. Be done with it. Why wouldn't you do that? Why not be done with it at Armageddon? Why not? I won't tell you why. Because his plan for the thousand-year millennium of peace, ruled by the saints and Jesus sitting on the throne physically in Jerusalem. It's not spiritual. It's physical and spiritual. But when he's there ruling with a rod of iron, he has a benevolent rulership. Not malevolent that's coming up now. So, why? Well, at the end of Armageddon, Antichrist, false prophet, in the lake of fire, they will burn. And all those who followed them, will also go there because that's what they choose. And then begins the thousand-year millennium reign. At the end of the thousand-year millennium reign, with Satan chained in utter darkness, that thousand years, mankind that would live through that thousand years will have never had the opportunity to make a choice of good or evil. Because evil will be chained. So at the end of the thousand years, Satan will then thus be able to help once again separate those that's not had a choice, that's lived a thousand years of that millennium reign, to make a choice. That will be, write it down, look it up, Gog and Magog, the real Gog and Magog. Not the one, World War III, which is the second seal. There's virtually almost two Gog and Magogs. One at the second seal, where 4 billion people will die, plus. And then there'll be the Gog and Magog at the end of the thousand years, and that's when Satan will be allowed once again to influence mankind. You see? And then they'll have the opportunity to make a choice, and that will be the last battle. So there's three more battles coming. World War III, Armageddon, and then end of the thousand years, Gog and Magog. We got a ways to go. And what they're trying to do, is get you to believe that we're already toward the end of the tribulations entirely. You see? So keep that in mind. That's where you should know your scriptures. You should know what the Bible says. All right? So, family, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to start talking about how they're controlling our troops and how they're controlling you. And people that out there, those out there that aren't listening today, they know things are wrong. They know things aren't right. They know the government's corrupt and all that sort of rhetoric. Everybody knows it, but nobody wants to hear about it. It's frustrating, isn't it? Because you try to tell them, they won't listen. You see? And so that's kind of the way it is. All right. So I'm going to dedicate here shortly. I'm going to dedicate shortly the broadcast. And then we're going to get moving with this broadcast today. Lord, we come to you today in prayer, and we pray, Lord God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for help today. We pray for help with covering us with the blood of Jesus around us. Father, we call upon you to use the blood of Jesus to ferret out, to move away those demons that are around us. And Father, those that are invisible to go away. That's why, Father, we plead, we pray in the blood of Jesus of Nazareth. And, Father, we plead that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over ourselves, our families, and everything that belongs to us. And, Lord, we ask for giant warrior angels to be loosed from heaven to surround and protect us. And as your war club and weapons of war, we break down, undam, and blow up all walls protection around all witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, and all the like. And Father, we break, we call the Holy Spirit to break the power of all curses, hexes, the vexes, spells, charms, fetishes, psychic prayers, psychic thought, all witchcraft, sorcery, magic, all mind control, the jinxes, potions, bewitchments, death, destruction, the sickness, pain, torment, the psychic power, psychic warfare, the prayer chains, and everything else being sent my way, the ones praying's way, everybody's way, family members' way, and return it and the demons to the senders right now, and back to them sevenfold, and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we pray that these lost souls will find the light of your Son, Jesus, and their own snares and traps have been set against themselves. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And Father, we also ask you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts and to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus, and they may be set free from the bondages of Satan. And though we'd also pray for our returning veterans, we pray for their healing. And Lord, to silence the voices they're hearing in their heads. Lord, we pray for the children. They're being abducted for these satanic sacrifices. And Lord, to take away their sacrifices. And Father, save those children. Father, we pray for the country, for the leaders to wake up. And Father, to spread the truth. Father, we pray for these preachers, rabbis, priest, and Father, they'll move away from the corrupt church and take the full gospel of Jesus Christ to people. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I'm going to play a song right now, and I want you to hang in. I'll be right back at you.
this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter. Of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, sworn by the ones He came to save, till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin.
Welcome back to the Watchman for Jesus program. Once again, oh, I tell you, family, Satan is clever. He is. He uses families. He uses all sorts of ways to keep you busy. All kinds of ways to keep you busy. Keep us all busy. Mind control is what he's using. And people out there, 90% of people out there, or more, 95%, 98%, whatever, either way, it's unbelievable how he has used science and other human beings that follow his lead in the supernatural way will follow up with it. You see? The science of mass manipulation through Christ's creation, the New World Order, Tavistock is one of the ways he's used this. And there's like 10 methods of mind control. 10 methods. Education, advertising and propaganda. Edward Bernays, nephew of Freud, Edward Bernays. You see, now I just learned that recently. That surprised me. Did you know that Tito of Yugoslavia back in the day was the son of Churchill? Do you know that Churchill was a Knight of Malta? Panetta. You know Panetta, CIA boy? He's a throwaway, just like all the rest of them. They're low level. He's a Knight of Malta, too. Clinton. Oliver North. General Joy Boykin. Rick Joyner, minister of sort, are all Knights of Malta. Mandela, evil as days long, was a Knight of Malta. The great men they've assassinated, and the ones that are in the secret societies are protected when they're sent to prison for protection. Or they're allowed to move on in some way. You see, this is a reality. Look into their background. So if I was a militia guy, right, and I was in the militia and all this, and I realized I got a general on our side, and I find out his name's Jerry Boykin, and then I say, well, wait a minute. Hold a second. He's a Knight of Malta. Then that means he's your enemy. He's not your friend. How come it's so difficult for people to look up the oath of the Knights of Malta, look into who they are? It might take you, well, it would take you about 15 minutes to find out that they're an enemy. The words mean nothing. The alligator tears mean nothing. False patriotism means nothing. But their joining ship and what they do on the side, that means a lot. Means everything. Education, advertising and propaganda, that's two. Predictive programming. Food, water, and air. Drugs. Military testing. Television, computer, and flicker rate. Nanobot technology. As I told someone earlier, I want to talk a little bit about television, computers, flicker rate. You know, it's bad enough that's what's programmed on the TV. 100% is accessed through remote control, is engineered. It's all pretty much made easier by literally lulling you to sleep. Kind of make a psychosocial weapon. That's exactly what it is. That's the purpose of it. The flicker rate. These tests show that alpha brainwaves, for example, are altered and produces a type of hypnosis. Start thinking, family. Start thinking. How about your kids? I see them come into restaurants when you're a family get-together kind of thing, right? And what are the kids doing? Well, it depends how big the kid is. If they're a little kid, they got a little handheld something or other. I don't know what they got nowadays. Little electronic little devices that do everything. And then if they're older, they have a bigger one, you know, and their nose is stuck up against it while the family sits down to eat. Now, my day, I'm going to tell you something. If you weren't at that table, when that mom said, you better get your little honey butt here now, you're in a whole lot of trouble. Whole lot of trouble. And you're going to listen. You're going to eat. And you're going to like it. And you're going to leave if they don't have dessert. If they do, then you save your fork. And then you eat your dessert. But if you're a bad boy or girl, you don't get your dessert. Yeah, well, anyway. But today, no, they sit at the table. I watch them. I watch. I look around when I go out to eat. I check things out. And the kid's nose is stuck up against the computer screens. As a matter of fact, they got a commercial. Something about a vehicle, a car of some sort, and you know how commercials are. And I just saw it today on this computer. When you're going through, you see commercials and they pop up and so forth. And on the commercial, the guy is driving and got three colleagues, and adults, of course, and their colleagues sitting in, and they're all three got their nose stuck into the 4G, IG, 10G, whatever phone, something or another going on. And they're all focused on it. He's driving. He says, okay, where are we going to lunch? Everybody's silent and very quiet. He's looking around, and they're all noses are stuck into this device. So he says, okay. So he, and here comes the commercial part, kicks it, pew, and everybody just wakes up kind of. And then one of them says, oh, what do you want to eat to lunch? You know, because he snapped them out of it. Oh, they know about it, and they throw it in your face on these silly commercials. They know exactly what they're doing. You know, it doesn't port end well for the latest revelation that lights can transmit coded internet data by flickering faster than your eye can see. And the computer's flicker rate is less. But through video games and social networks and a basic structure, overhauls the brain with information. Inundates you with information. Information sometimes you don't even see, but goes into the mind that you don't even know that it's there. The flicker rate is faster than the eye can see, can put knowledge into your mind subliminally. And the computer flicker rate's less, but through video games, that's teaching your kids to kill in their death education. Oh, there's a structure to that. Oh, yeah. It's been done to us all through the education system. It's called death education. I didn't make that up. How we say it down home? Y'all didn't know that now, did you? When you have the kids, remember in the day when the teacher would say, okay, children, we're going to go to the cemetery, and you're going to find your favorite cemetery stone and do a scraping on it on your paper. That was part of the death education. Bet you all didn't know that, did you? And you know that the basic structure overloads the brain. So what happens is rapid pace of modern communication technology, it kind of induces a ADHD state. Yeah, it does. You know, a study of video games actually revealed that extended play can result in a lower blood flow to the brain. They've had kids die and kids get injured because it's set for 8, 10, 12 hours playing a video game. I know it reduces the focus, peripheral vision of kids that has extremely high IQ it reduces their ability to concentrate. It works opposite. It saps emotional control. Also, role-playing games of lifelike war and police state scenarios desensitize a connection to reality. Hence the drone operators. Yeah, WikiLeaks, there's a video called Collateral Murder. And games like Call of Duty is there to work on the children that's going to be the adults of the 21st century for the new kids coming up on the block in the year 2025. That's a significant date, the year 2025. The date they figure that they're going to launch, the target date of the new Atlantis. Now, TV, computer. The TV is a transmitter. It's a sending you information to keep you occupied. Computer, same thing. But the computer, you can interact with it. There's a difference there. But sometimes there's not. Some people get so involved and they lose themselves in the computer and social dating. And that's why someone told me not long ago, said, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, the bars were like, you know, pickup places and dancing and all this in the 80s and 90s. But in the year 21st century, not so. Because the computer dating scenarios have pretty much taken people out of the bars. It's had an effect. Quite interesting. The mass media is the most powerful tool used by the ruling class to manipulate the masses. It shapes and it molds opinions and attitudes and defines what's normal and acceptable. And it's also based on occult symbolism. And these symbols are found in popular culture. People say, well, nah, that's normal. Hook'em horns is something's around before satanic Baphomet. Well, no, it wasn't. That is the purpose of the Texas University of Texas Hook and Horns, is based on Satanism. The OK sign, index finger, thumb touching, three fingers up, that's a sign of 666. This is very serious. When I play the Ouija board, for example, it's a deadly weapon. So they made it pink, a pink Ouija board. It's like taking a 357 Magnum and turning it into a pink 357 Magnum or a 30-06 and making it pink. Because the symbols, the activity, the act of actually participating is occultic. It was designed around 600 AD, about the 7th century. And it's used as a medium and a tool, and by the operators, the participant, it gives permission for demonic entities to enter in. Now, evidence. Right now, you could actually do it right now. Look up Ouija board. O-U-I-J-A. Ouija. O-Ouija. And then you plug in suicides. And then tell me it's a joke. I don't think you'll be laughing when you do that. Connect the Ouija board with children's suicides and drug addiction, changes of attitude, families being destroyed, and then call it a pink Ouija is no problem. Because it is. The supernatural beings are real. They do exist. And they operate by frequency vibrations. So symbols, geometric figures, numbers, all that, when you use it horoscopes and going to seances, it's cute and all that sort of thing. What you've done is given permission for the supernatural to enter your body. Goes every single time. Anytime you start seeing UFOs, you start seeing the spirits, the shadow men, other types of stick men and so forth. These are demonic entities called familiar spirits that appear after you've completed these activities. But it goes deeper than that. If you've not participated in these activities and your family is being harassed by means of that you can't identify, that's unusual. Look back at your mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, great-great-grandmother, four generations back, and look for a Freemason into Wicca, witchcraft, some other occult activity in the bloodline, going back four generations, and there's your problem. And then what you do is you deliver, you repent of that family member's sin of involving the occult to cut that line. If you don't, it's going to harass you from continuously. For four generations. It's called generational curses. And they are real. The greatest thing that for Satan that he ever did was convince people he didn't exist. The mass media started becoming controlled in 1915 when J.P. Morgan bought out 25 of the major newspapers. Then he passed that control and provided an editor for each one to control what was being printed in the United States. And then after that, in 1921, Rockefeller formed up the Council of Foreign Relations. And when he did, they started taking control of all media. I mean all media. As the media advanced technologically, they also advanced in their control. Everything. As a matter of fact, it was created for them for mind control. Lucy, my three sons, Father knows best, because those periods, during that time period, before the war, after the war, to get people involved in Vietnam, they needed the family structure. Therefore, they generated the television, soap operas, so forth, to reflect that Christian value of families being together. Of, your man's got to be a man, tell the right thing, do the right thing, and all that sort of thing. The right roles is being played. The nuclear family had to be played out. After that, in the 60s and 70s, began the demoralization of the United States to destroy the culture in preparation to bring us under subjugation of the New World Order. They knew it would take about a generation, maybe two. You see what I'm saying? I'm not giving you speculation here. I'm telling you what they've done. This is not theory. This is the truth. Now, the mass media forms designs to reach the largest audience possible. And it includes television, movies, radio, newspapers, magazines, books, records, video games, internet. And there's many studies conducted in the past century to measure the effects of mass media on the population. And they've been trying to determine the best way to control the most amount of people in the population. You see. And In the science of communications, it's used in marketing, public relations, and politics. Mass communication is a necessary tool that's pretty much used to ensure that the functionality of a large democracy, which we've never had, it's also a necessary tool for dictatorship. And all depends on its usage. And they have quantified it. And just, it's amazing what they've done. And we get so caught up into it. The flicker rate is what keeps people in tune to it. You watch these commercials where they have the sports. It's amazing. Can you imagine that many people in a religious service that really love the Lord? Let's turn it all around. It's amazing. You know, in 1958, the preface for A Brave New World, Aldous Huxley, he painted kind of a grim portrait of society. He believed it's controlled by impersonal force. See how they skirt around Satan? A ruling elite which manipulates the population. He said, I quote, "Impersonal forces over which we have almost no control seem to be pushing us all in direction of a brave new worldian nightmare. And this impersonal pushing is being consciously accelerated by representatives of commercial and political organizations who have developed a number of new techniques for manipulating, in the interest of some minority, the thoughts and feelings of the masses." Unquote. Aldous Huxley. It's a preface to The Brave New World. You see, these like Aldous Huxley, Freud, Edward Bernays, all of them, Gestalt, were channeled by the fallen angels. I've explained this before. In three different methods of overshadowing / channeling. I've explained those in previous broadcasts and exactly how they do it. And you know, Huxley's outlook, it's bleak, is not a simple hypothesis or a paranoid delusion. It's a documented fact. Walter Lippmann, he's an American intellectual and writer of two-time Pulitzer. Pulitzer was so Illuminati. Nobel was Illuminati. This is to give them credence. That's why they give out all these rewards. He brought forth one of the first works concerning the usage of mass media in America in public opinion, 1922. Lippmann actually compared the masses to a great beast and a bewildered herd, and a herd that needed to be guided by a governing class. He talks about the ruling elite, a specialized class whose interests to reach beyond the locality. They have experts, specialists, bureaucrats, and even according to Lippmann, these so-called experts, we call them Illuminati, referred to as the elites. They want the impossible idea of an omnipotent, omnicompetent citizen. A bewildered herd. This goes along with the Illuminati's agenda to control through the mass media. And what this really boils down to, not only in participating in wars worldwide, is what's called the manufacturing of consent. So the manufacturing manipulation of public opinion to accept their agenda. Now, America, you've been so hoodooed. We have been hoodooed. And I'll tell you how. For example, one really good example is that of the Rockefellers, who are Illuminati, created the Council of Foreign Relations, Mandel House, and so forth. Here's what they've done, very simply, actually. Because with the money they made $200 million in World War I. They made $200 million off the blood of American servicemen and civilians and citizens on both sides of the ocean. It's all blood money. It's not earned. Their money, most all the rich, their money has been by blood. With money, the Rockefellers actually gained control of the media. It's 1921. And with the media, the family gained control over public opinion. And with control over public opinion, they gained control of politics. And then with control of politics, they're taking control of the nation. And in terms of this, it would be that they took control of the nation. Now, that's the reality. Walter Lippmann said, and I quote, "The manufacturer consent is capable of great refinements. No one, I think, denies. The process by which public opinions arise is certainly no less intricate than it has appeared in these pages, and the opportunities for manipulation open to anyone who understands the process are plain enough. As a result of psychological research, coupled with the modern means of communication, the practice of democracy has turned a corner. A revolution is taking place, infinitely more significant than any shifting of economic power. Under the impact of propaganda, not necessarily in the sinister meaning of the word alone, the old constants of our thinking has become variables. It is no longer possible, for example, to believe in the original dogma of democracy, that the knowledge needed for the management of human affairs comes up spontaneously from the human heart. When we act on that theory, we expose ourselves to self-deception, to forms of persuasion that we cannot verify. It has been demonstrated that we cannot rely upon tuition, conscience, or the absence of casual opinion if we're to deal with the world beyond our reach." Walter Lippmann. Was he important? Well, Lippmann, along with Rockefellers, is one of the founding fathers of the Council on Foreign Relations. One of the most influential foreign policy think tanks in the world. And that is the Illuminati in America. I say it's pretty important. The fact that the stated fact should give you some small hint of the mind state of the elite concerning the usage of media. In Europe, Britain, United Kingdom, they have one too, called the Royal Institute of International Affairs. Matter of fact, every country has one. Canada, every one of them do. Steve Jacobson, Mind Control in the United States, said, I quote, "Political and economic power in the United States is concentrated in the hands of a ruling elite that controls most of the U.S.-based multinational corporations, major communication media, the most influential foundations, major private universities, and most public utilities. Founded in 1921, the Council of Foreign Relations is the key link between the large corporations and the federal government. It's been called a school for statesmen. and comes close to being an organ of what C. Wright Mills has called the power elite. A group of men, similar in interest and outlook, shaping events from invulnerable positions behind the scenes. The creation of the United Nations was a council project, as well as the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Now, I'd say it's pretty important, y'all. When he controls y'all's lives and tells White House and Hillary Clinton what to do, she has to answer to the Council of Foreign Relations. They all do. You see, I'd say that's pretty significant. Now, you got to know the enemy and how to deal with the enemy. You got to know them. And sometimes it's a little painful to have to get to know them. Because it leaves you kind of standing like, wow, I don't understand this. This is too much. What's on TV? And there you go. Bye-bye. And they head out. Family, you got to hang in there. And to ferret out the enemy, you got to know who the enemy is. And then when you find the enemy, then you know the right weapon to use. And the weapon in our case, almost every case, is going to be spiritual warfare. I know, home protection, lock and load, freeze-dried food. You know, the gold, buying the gold, I was on different networks. And everybody selling gold and all this and all that. I couldn't get myself to do it. I couldn't talk about it on the air. That's how they make the money and all this and all that, and I understand it. But I just couldn't bring myself around to it. Because I know when it goes down and the dictatorship takes over, they're going to make using gold illegal. They will make it illegal. You won't be able to use it. Silver, bartering items and all that, maybe. But back to the CFR. Now that I've given you a background of it, let's see what we're talking about here.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
You see, he kept it secret. He kept it secret. That was the point. And they laugh about it, too. What do, family? You do what you can. For what you have to work with, you see. And you pray about it, what God wants you to do. But you guard yourself with the full armor of God. It's very important that you do that. To cut down on the interruptions. And to keep yourself straight. Current members of the Council of Foreign Relations was David Rockefeller, Dick Cheney. Oh, by the way, did you know Dick Cheney, Romney, Dole, Bush, Clinton, Obama through his mother in vitro. You know they're all family members of Queen Elizabeth II? Did y'all know that? As a matter of fact, going all the way back to George Washington, all of them are family members. And I'm not talking about, well, we all are kin to somebody. No, I'm talking about distinctly family members, not to marry outside their bloodline, the Merovingian bloodline. A family reunion you would not be invited to. They're all family. Colin Powell's also. They go back to King John, Charles Maine, a royal bloodline. How far back they can trace the bloodline? All the way back to the pharaohs of Egypt that migrated into Europe. Oh, yeah. David Rockefeller, Dick Cheney, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, megachurch past master Rick Warren, CEOs of major corporations such as CBS, Nike, Coca-Cola, Visa, they're all members of the Council of Foreign Relations family. I worked for a security company in Indiana about six, seven years ago as a project manager, security manager for a BP oil refinery. And the security company I worked for, I didn't know, but the owner was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. I think that might have had something to do with them running me out of there after about 6 months or whatever, when I refused to be a Freemason twice, or three times, actually. I started looking into it, and I said, oh, my gosh. I said, the owner of the company is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? Help. Anyway, well, that's true. They tried to get me to join the Masons three times. And I told them all the way up, I can't do that. And then it just got untenable. Long story. It's happened twice. Carl Jung, if you're into psychology, was an avatar. Some of his ancestors were Rosicrucians, like Ron Paul. He's a Rosicrucian. Oh, yeah, he sure is. They're all traitors. They're all part of the synagogue of Satan, which is the secret societies. Which are the secret societies. Carl Jung was a founder of analytical psychology, known as Jungian psychology, and emphasized understanding the psyche, exploring dreams and art, mythology, religion, symbols, philosophy. Philosophy is one of the ashram rays that the fallen angels use, have set up. Philosophy and religion. He was an avid Freemason, Grand Master, 33rd degree. And himself, he discovered that some of his ancestors were Rosicrucians. That's one of the reasons why some of his ancestors or his interest in Western philosophy, alchemy, astrology, and symbolism. Collective unconscious, they call it. All this is linked up to the New Age movement. People actually fool themselves in thinking Islam is the enemy. It's a made enemy, certainly. But the ancient mystery schools of religion encompassing the secret societies is the number one enemy, causing all the others to fight each other. And in fact, the secret societies of today are fighting each other. And they intend on targeting their lower level ranks. But they don't know that yet. Because they trust their brotherhood. Big mistake. It's documented that they're going to kill all Freemasons once they're done, the Great White Brotherhood. That's designed. It's documented. Edward Bernays was considered to be the father of public relations. He used concepts discovered by his uncle, Sigmund Freud, to manipulate the public using the subconscious. He shared Walter Lippmann's view of the general population, and he considered it irrational and subject to the herd instinct. His opinion, the masses need to be manipulated by an invisible government to ensure the survival of democracy. Even though FDR confirms March the 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, that we've never had a democracy, and they'll see to it, they never have one. That's what FDR said. My regular listeners have heard me quote this many times. I'll spare them this time. It's quite a horrific quote that he makes behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees. Of one witness that wrote it down and passed it on to William G. Carr, who put it into his book, 1955, Red Fog Over America. The real FDR. Not the fireside chat lies that he did. And finally, their technology is unbelievable, what they've accomplished, while we have been watching TV, playing sports, keeping busy. With all these different things I talked to you about a little while ago, the 10 ways, this is what's going on, family. It's time to wake up. Snap out of it. You see, it's kind of like you kind of wake up and you're like, oh man, don't bother me, go away, I'm trying to sleep. To come out of it is really tough. I was talking to somebody earlier today and trying to explain what you go through when you start realizing that something is wrong. And I came up with six stages. I'm not going to go in detail, but what happens is if a person is really ready to listen, and when learning the truth about our history, you go through about six stages. Shock. Could this really be happening in America? Using the conspirator's own words, it's confirmed. Still don't believe in New World Order? Well, second stage in non-belief and denial. I don't believe it. No, you're crazy. Third stage is once they see the facts brought to them, if they even listen that far, and you say, my gosh, it's real. Well, at that point, the third stage sets in. You kind of a acceptance of a feeling, a sick in the stomach feeling like, oh my gosh. And the fourth stage is depression and fear. Now here, if they don't have Jesus in their lives, in this fourth stage of depression and fear, you lose a lot of good researchers here because they don't have Jesus in their life or in their heart. And they see an overwhelming presence of this new world order, which really is already defeated, by the way. And though just being introduced to it at the highest level, they'll say, oh my gosh, I better join them. You see what happens. But if you get past this fourth stage with courage, the fifth stage is anger. Kind of leads to a fire in the heart determination to save the country or at least try to, or keep in mind that all is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Well, even if winning was looking doubtful, at least trying by educating ourselves, praying, informing others. It's also good to keep in mind Romans 13, that all governments are ordained by God, whether it's good or bad. Sometimes a dictatorship or tyrannical government is allowed to happen on a population because it turned away from God. If God wants it removed, he'll remove it. We've never won a revolution in our lives, ever. We didn't win the Revolutionary War. We lost. But family, we're still subject to the Queen of England right now today. We are a colony of England right now. They just haven't told you, but they're starting to tell you now. The truth is starting to come out. They were nothing but a corporation. And I'm going to tell you why they're doing that right now when I'm thinking about it. See, the controlled opposition, your Alex Joneses and Rents and all these guys, Quayle and Dizdar and Leal, and I don't know the whole line of them. You have entire networks to Christian identity groups and whatever. I don't hold nothing back, man. But they want you to know now. See, they want you to know that you're a dictatorship, that you're a tyrannical government, which we have been all along. How come just now they're bringing it up? You know, and everybody that's living, they can tell you all this stuff, but they don't go any further than they're allowed to. Assange and Snowden, they're frauds. There's no hero about them at all. The CIA and KGB and Mossad and all the rest of them work with them. Okay, here's what you're allowed to say. We're going to play it up. Here's what you better not say, and they won't say it. They set them up, made it look like it's real. The scripted out media is just a bunch of baloney. And everybody gets wrapped around the axle and busy, distracted. And they let out just what they want to let out, what they want you to know. Little carrots here and little carrots there. Everybody goes, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, you know. And then here comes Snowden's little zinger, UFOs. That was his zinger. Oh, they're clever. It's all scripted. And you got Obama blasting, or Hillary Bush. Hillary, that was a Freudian slip. Hillary Clinton, you know, Putin is like another Hitler. And Putin's over there smiling and saying, yeah, we talked about that. He'll go along with it and play the routine. And behind the closed doors, they'll pat each other on the back. Just like two divorce lawyers. It's all scripted out, family. They're playing us all for fools. Putin's a part of it as much as anybody. He plays a role. He's assigned. Obama's playing a role. He's assigned. They're controlled by the Vatican. The Vatican's controlled by the Illuminati. The Italian and German inside Illuminati. The Jews, the tribe of Dan, have their own little agenda. That's true. The Ashkenazi, Khazars. The fake Jews in Israel, the British Israel. British Israel is a colony of England today. Well, here's the purpose of all this. It's so that you'll lose that sovereignty now, that you'll lose that patriotism. They want it gone. Why? To pull you in to the North American Union, to pull the North American Union into the New World Order, which will be 10 times worse than any tyranny has ever been on the face of this planet. They'll come in as peace on earth, love, kindness, that and the other, Christ consciousness, and blah, blah, blah. Right before they do a depopulation that you cannot imagine is to come. But they lose. Through the power of the cross, through the power of Jesus Christ, they lost on that cross. They are defeated. All we're doing right now is counting the casualties of those that's not hearing the gospel, that rejecting it. But after the fifth stage, the anger and so forth, comes the sixth stage. And that's the desire to fix or to inform or do something about it. We have a march coming in May, a march of veterans. It'll solve nothing. They're setting up our veterans. They did it in 1933. They tried to do those marches to set people up. That's what they do. They infiltrate into the marches. And the police themselves that are dressed like the marchers, usually they have bandanas over their faces or ways of not being seen. They hang together in 3 to 5 groups, and they're the ones that start the riots by design. I don't know if it's going to happen this time, but it is being set up. Will they actually pull it off this time? I don't know. Occupy Wall Street was a test. Occupy Wall Street, a follow-up to Occupy, or what was it, the Arab Spring or whatever? That's how they do it. First another country, then in America. Yeah. Occupy Wall Street was funded by the Rockefellers. Led by We Are Change, Craig Fitzgerald and Luke Randowski. Craig Fitzgerald is a 13th degree Freemason. Randowski is a fraud. Like Kokesh. They're all there to push, to lead, but errantly, pretending to be on your side. Then they act certain ways to discredit the movement or to lead people down a primrose path, making it look like they're doing something. In reality, it's nothing's being done but trying to stir up justification for martial law. Another bonus army, which I've talked about the past 2 or 3 days. Well-meaning veterans. They're being led the wrong path by people they trust. You have good people in these marches. Good people that won't change. But they're putting their faith in the wrong people. They're putting their faith in those in the secret societies, Christian Identity, and other places. Like that. Every culture has its own group, its own call of patriotism. The Mexicans, it's Aslan. Get back our Mayan heritage. The blacks is you're Muslim. There's another movement, I forgot the name of it right now. The whites, Christian Identity, Aryan Nation, KKK. Everybody's got their little thing. Imagine that. And they're all created by the same organizational groups to keep people, everybody divided with radical groups within it. That's how they do it. You know, going back to the 1930s, this entertainment industry, TV and all that, the industry they figured of entertainment, which is under the Star Group of Kissinger, controls it, is to reduce human beings to the state of mass by manipulating the development of their freed individuals who are capable of making rational decisions to be incapable of making rational decisions. By subliminal insinuations and such. The flicker rate's got a lot to do with it. They replace the legitimate drive for autonomy and self-awareness by the laziness of conforming and passivity. Or to validate an idea that men actually seek to escape the absurd and crazy and cruel, this cruel world which you live by losing themselves into a hypnotic state of self-satisfaction. It's escapism you find in video games, 3D movies, home theaters. It works. I haven't seen TV, watched TV in 5 years. When people say that, people hear me say that, they say, what do you say on TV? I said, don't watch it. Well, you don't watch it. No, I got rid of it. I said, TV I got, man, I couldn't sell. I couldn't give it away. It's one of those big ones. It's not the little skinny ones. They said, Tom, that's old. I said, yeah, I know. I hadn't used it in a long time. You don't use TV? I said, no, I don't use TV. I've heard this three times now. Oh, I couldn't live without mine. Satan is operating using the people I'm naming today. Control of the mass media is amazing how they do it. And now today, and I did talk to connections to veterans and so forth today in a roundabout way, I brought up the notion of voice-to-skull technology. And boy, did eyebrows raise up. Yes, sir. And I knew I only had a short time to keep their attention before they thought I was done, lost my mind. So I had to start rapid fire. And those of you that know me, you know what I did. Rapid fire facts as fast as I could go. That'd be rapid fire. So they wouldn't think I was too crazy, but I had evidence. I had to do it fast. Because your veterans are hearing voice-to-skull technology is being placed in their heads. That's where the suicides are coming from. Besides the ELF transmission to affect their soul, literally, by technology. So we're all going to hear something here that I'll make comment on if I have to toward the end of it. So here we go.
Do you believe that a technology exists wherein speech can be encoded and transmitted via microwaves so that it can be heard inside the human skull without the use of a receiver?
I became totally immersed in hearing voices.
Are you delusional?
You could actually hear voices in your head. From microwave being a carrier band heating up the temporal lobes.
Whenever I hear somebody talking to me about microwaves or stuff like that being zoomed into their head.
You are not supposed to be violating people at the level that this is. I think even voice-to-skull technology should be outlawed.
In the 1980s, a firestorm of court cases concerning the satanic and ritual abuse of children swept across the United States and was fueled by the popular media.
The stories dump in the ocean, chop up the bodies, these things, they sound like they can't be happening. Ted Gunnarsson, respected law enforcement professional recently, or retired now from the FBI, former regional director of Los Angeles. Do you, sir, believe that these dreadful allegations of babies being sacrificed are true?
I absolutely believe it, without any doubt.
San Diego, California resident Dale Akiki, born with a rare genetic disorder known as Noonan syndrome, was accused of ritually abusing children.
Did you ever intentionally physically hurt any children?
No, I did not.
Have you ever tortured any children?
No.
Have you ever hurt or tortured or killed any animals?
No.
The satanic ritual abuse allegations, which were so widely sensationalized in the popular media, were eventually labeled a moral panic by most professional and law enforcement entities. And in 1995, even Geraldo Rivera issued an apology for his participation in popularizing the satanic abuse phenomenon.
Due to the fact that I had witnessed somewhat of a cover-up of the reality of ritual abuse in my local community due to the maneuvers of reporter Mark Sauer.
The evidence is thin at best, specious, and frankly does not stand up to the light of day.
One of the first things I did was to immediately peruse the news group Alt Satanism, for instance, and I found a very famous alleged perpetrator on one of these news groups by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, and I had appellate documents. And the appellate documents about his case basically said that he was processed out of the Army in 1990 after a ritual abuse child investigation.
He's an admitted Satanist. He runs this, you know, goofy, you know, dark church or whatever, however you want to characterize it. So there's enough smoke here that Diana's going to find fire.
Is it a force for everything negative?
Well, if you're talking about Satanism as legitimate Satanists define it, absolutely not.
Does that prove that he's a child abuser, that he's sexually molesting children, or as agents, you know, operating that? Well, of course not. I mean, where's the evidence of that?
Lieutenant Colonel Aquino was accused of ritual child abuse while he was stationed at the Presidio Army Base in San Francisco, but he was eventually cleared of all charges.
I could not function at work, this new job that I had, and so I didn't pass probation at this new job, and I was let go. And I became totally immersed in hearing voices. These people identified themselves as NASA Ames employees. They identified themselves as Livermore Lab.
Paranoia is a defense mechanism to handle with anger. Most people don't like to be angry, and particularly many people like to deny the fact that they are angry. So instead of admitting to themselves or anybody else that they are angry, they devise a system where they project their anger on other people.
And I discovered various victims' websites, people who had the same symptoms that I had, and they were referring to what was voice-to-skull technology.
It's a good thing to speak in terms of delusional systems, because there is a whole surrounding area of thought and explanation that goes into their initial delusion.
And they refer to this website. And the website was called the Center for Army Lessons Learned. And I looked it up, and this website is run by the Army.
Usually these delusional systems become more and more elaborate.
I looked up a term that other victims had been talking about, which is voice-to-skull devices.
They go out and explain to it, it all becomes part of the delusional system.
What voice-to-skull devices say, I have the printout right here, is it says it's a non-lethal weapon, which includes neural electromagnetic device, which uses microwave transmission of sound into the skull of persons or animals by way of pulse-modulated microwave radiation.
I think it's fair and it's important to say, you know, this does not sound to me like something that I find myself able to believe.
There have been recent advances in acoustic technology which can transmit sound great distances with a very narrow target range. The long-range acoustic device is one such technology and is currently employed by both military and commercial sea vessels to deter potential attackers. In San Diego, California, Woody Norris, developer of the LRAD, describes another of his acoustic technologies known as hypersonic sound.
It's kind of like radio stations, except in this case, you don't need a receiver. To hear a radio station, I got to have a receiver. With this, the mixing actually happens in the air, and you hear it without any other device. So if I aim it at you, and it happens to hit both of your ears, and I'm reluctant to say this, it'll be as though the sound is inside your head. This time I'll come all the way around in case you're getting a lot of echo from the room. Much of it is people pleading for help because they've been hearing voices in their head for years. And now this technology explains it. If it's my sound, turn your head, plug your ears, cover your head, sound goes away. If it doesn't, it's not me.
Hypersonic sound is perceived through the external ear of the subject, and therefore cannot be classified as V2K, the military acronym for voice-to-skull technology, which relies on a scientifically documented phenomenon known as the microwave auditory effect.
The observation of the phenomena came way back during the Second World War, and the radar operators, you know, accidentally noticed that when they stand in front of the
James C. Lynn
radar,
James
sometimes
C. Lynn.
They can hear clicks in their head. Somebody by the name of Alan Fry had talked to some of the radar operators based on their report, and he conducted a very simple laboratory experiment. Indeed, showed that human beings can hear the radar pulses. They were not just making it up.
They wanted to know what the significance of something like this would be if man had another sensory motor input. And of course, the possibilities are staggering. Like, you have another sense like sight, only you're not using it. What do you think that would imply? It means you're walking around being blind to something that's constantly giving you inputs, but you're not aware of it. Well, the first implication on that would be a weapon.
There was some concerns because the American embassy in Moscow was reported to have been bombarded by microwaves. So the speculation was that, are they trying to gather intelligence, or are they trying to actually mess with the brains of the embassy personnel? So there was some experiments being conducted. Of course, then they were involved in some other things which I'm not involved in, which are classified in nature.
Dr. Lin configured the equipment for the 1973 experiment performed at the Walter Reed Army Research Institute, wherein the experimenters successfully encoded speech and transmitted it via microwaves. The subject of the experiment, Dr. Joseph C. Sharp, was able to hear the spoken words for 1 through 10, and the results were published in the Journal of the American Psychological Association. And while Dr. Sharp verified these results during a personal interview with the filmmakers, he declined to have his voice or image recorded, stating that the technology was still too controversial.
In ordinary sound perception, sound that goes into the ear canal gets amplified by the small bones in the middle ear, and then gets to the inner ear where the cochlea resides, and in the cochlea is converted to electrical impulse. But fundamentally, the physical phenomena that enables it is mechanical movement of particles. So the mechanical wave transmitted by the bones of the middle ear gets converted at the inner ear into the electrical impulses. But in the case of a microwave, the auditory effect is the source is electromagnetic. So if you expose the biological tissue to a pulse of microwave energy, the tissue expands and induces a vibration. Instead of going through the middle ear, the microwave-induced vibration gets propagated to the inner ear directly, and at the inner ear is converted to electrical impulses again. And in this case, a vibration in the human tissue, if the tissue is the head, for example, will fall within the auditory range of a human subject.
All applicants for voluntary admission are held a minimum of 15 days for examination before they may be released.
Now, the question is, have I been suddenly overcome by schizophrenia? My answer to that is that I have been forced on medication for the past 4 years, and not once have any of my voices stopped.
What's really going on here? Well, we really don't have the models yet or the belief systems to be able to cope with these things.
People now are talking about actually direct communication, like we mentioned, sending a message to the air to a person without anybody else being aware of it. That is within the realm of possibility.
If medication does not stop these voices, and these people have, and the victims or your clients have a plausible story.
This is like another sensory motor input that man has not yet learned how to use.
Of course, you could, as I say, if you have a high enough power system, you can have a group of people subjected to the same type of a phenomena.
There's all kinds of applications there, in terms of making someone think they're crazy. To hear voices in your head, what do you think that's about? If you started hearing voices in your head and it wasn't your voice.
I don't know whether it is true or not. I think there's a sizable number of people who think this is being used for mind control.
Mind control is right at the top of the list. That obviously is what everybody would like to do, is control everybody's opinion on something, right?
I think if somebody who wants to do it, there is the potential.
Is that going to convince you? Not necessarily, but it will convince me. That convinces me. No, I do not think that I was just suddenly overcome mysteriously by voices, just out of the blue.
Now, it works. That's what's going on today. Is this voiceless skull technology? Now, how significant is it? Well, 22 suicides per day, I'd say that's a little bit over the edge, wouldn't you? That's way over the edge. I always wondered, I said, wait a minute, 22 per day is not even normal. People say, well, the combat situation and this happens. I said, eh, no. Certainly it's there. Certainly it happens, especially in snipers, for various reasons, psychological reasons. But I said, 22 per day? I said, no, there's something more going on. So I started studying it myself. And then I realized, that knowing the New World Order's agenda and how that works, I said, yeah. They're trying to reduce the strength of America as far as the military that would fight against the North American Union. The patriotic fervor. They know that U.S. military would not fire on American citizens unless they're the paid mercenaries and so forth. Or foreign troops is what they've brought inside now. We go back to the bonus army. And how they're going to bring the United States, that they've used us as a debt collector for the monarchy, for the Vatican, to put everybody under a subjugation of a debt so that the IMF could control them. That's always been the plan. This is what's really happened. Now, people can deny it all they want, but don't change the facts. But back to it, in 2009, there was 160 active duty suicides. 239 suicides within the total army, including the reserves. 146 active duty deaths from drug overdoses and high-risk behavior, and 1,713 suicide attempts. So, in addition to suicide, there was other out-of-character behavior like domestic violence, as was known to erupt from the drugs. And they're given 20 to 30 drugs to take per day. I told some folks today, linked up to the veterans more or less, that they had microchips in them. I said, right now, look, right this moment, I said, get on your computer and look in the computer and link up the FDA approving microchips in the pills several months ago. Well, it was several months ago. Yeah, well, if they tell you publicly, they've been doing it for 20 years. That's how they do it. And you know, more troops are dying by their own hand than in combat, according to a report titled Health Promotion, Risk Reduction, and Suicide Prevention. 36% of the suicides were troops who were never deployed. Hold on there a minute now. Whoa. It's a little bit surprising. They were never deployed and commit suicides. And they found that an unprecedented suicide rate are accompanied by unprecedented rise in psychoactive drug rate among active duty troops 18 to 34 years of age. Is up 85% since 2003. There's no reason for that. That's according to the military health care plan, TRICARE. Since 2001, 73,103 prescriptions for Zoloft had been dispensed. 38,199 for Prozac. 17,830 for Paxil. And 12,047 for Cymbalta, says TRICARE 2009 data, which include family prescriptions. And you know, all those drugs carry a suicide warning label. You know what they've done? Now, regular listeners, you'll understand this. New listeners, well, I'll do the best I can here. You see, you're made up of three: the body, the soul, and the spirit. Your body encases the soul. The soul is contained in the head, the brain, the pineal gland. The active part of your mind is your soul. Your soul's not in your butt, although, never mind. Your soul's not in your legs or your... So if you get an amputation, you don't lose your soul. You understand? So where's the soul located? I mean, this thing called a soul, where does it reside? Is your whole body... So if you lose an arm or a leg, do you lose part of your soul? No. So where's the soul at? You ever thought about this? How does the soul actually operate? Well, they know where. It's the pineal gland. If you look in the Bible, Ecclesiastes, it talks about the silver cord. Where's it connected? The pineal gland. Where's the pineal gland? That's that little center thing going on in the forehead. It's in the back of the brain, but they look at the forehead as the portal to the soul. In the back of the head, hang with me here, in the back of the head, you have different, and throughout the body actually, you have these things called chakras, portals of the body, of this illusion we have the flesh. The halo that you seem to, that we see, the halo that you see on pictures and photographs and Mary and all that. The halo is not of religious significance. It's supernatural. Not religious, as you want to call it. Maybe somebody wants to call it. It is a portal, is what the halo really is. It's how the soul leaves the body. So in other words, when you're in contact with a demonic being, like, say, Ouija board, something like this, or some way of being possessed, it comes in through the back of the head, that portal. Now, in the front lobe, the front part of the brain, the forehead, do y'all notice where the Dalai Lama and others do the head bump? Why does it do the head bump? Is it just being silly, or is that some kind of tradition? It's neither. It is a methodology by which when the Dalai Lama and those into the occult, into the Hinduism and Buddhism and transfer of demonic spirits, when they do that head bump thing, there's an exchange of energy where he transfers a demonic spirit into that person for mesmerization. And the throwing a scarf over the neck, that's traditional ritual. As kind of a seal for that demonic spirit to inhabit that leader. It's a form of possession, passing on within a 6-inch space between the two heads together. That's what happens. That's what he's doing it for. Don't let that smile and bald head like Kojak and old grandfatherly look and kung fu look fool you. He is one evil individual, as they all are. Don't be fooled. Well, your soul, your personality and character is energy. Demons are like specks of light. You see, demons are like specks of light. The fallen angels are like orbs. It's all spiritual. Housed by your body. Now, the third part of you is a spirit. That's that cord connected to God. The spirit. That's his image. Spirit. Let's go back to the soul. That's energy, like electricity. So when you let a demon come inside because you play the Ouija board or the drugs or the rituals and all this stuff going on, you become, quote unquote, possessed. That's the energy being of a demon coming inside to mix with your energy as your soul can manipulate it by frequency vibration. Different vibrations affects the body in different ways. Different emotions. And with the demon inside, that's how they control, by our allowance and permission. Now, that being said, very simply, actually, they have synthesized demonic activity by using ELF transmissions and microwave technology and microchips. They can synthesize demonic influence and make it synthetic, thereby opening you up so you can be possessed. Now, do you sort of get an idea how complex this really is? And the partnership between the physical realm and the supernatural realm of evil? How they work together? So now the idea of the so-called zombies are not so far-fetched when you understand this technology and this physics and biology called alchemy. Now, what can defeat it? Well, it won't take a darn aspirin, I'll tell you that right now. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. There is no other way. No other way. And to get a veteran who's angry, a veteran who's comes back broken up, angry at the world, angry at the Marine Corps or Army, or angry at the country, angry at what he did over there himself or whatever, and to witness to him about the love of Jesus, oh, now you sort of see the problem. And then when you know, they know, they know their commanders, their colonels and their majors and their generals are going to the Catholic Church or to other churches, have caused them to do what they've done, how can they care for a God that they would worship? They won't. That's why they go to India a lot. A lot of them are going to India to study Hinduism and Buddhism. Now, you see what's going on? Look it up. You'll find it to be true. It's a phenomenon going now. In fact, 4,994 troops at Fort Bragg were on antidepressants recently, said the Fayetteville Observer. 664 are on an antipsychotic. Many soldiers take more than one type of medication, sometimes 20 per day. Depression itself is a risk factor for suicide. So it's not always possible to tell if the disease or the drug is at fault. So let me tell you the rub on that one. We live in a world of a cloud, a sort of vibrational energy. They have it identified. Called the Schumann Resonance. It's H-U-M-A-N-N. The Schumann Resonance is about 7.82 hertz of vibration is normal around you. Your environment is 7.82 hertz, so the earth resonance is natural. However, just like described in that video I just played for you, if they target the individual by his DNA, by a microchip, by implanted device, by a location in that sphere that they project through satellite or HARP, 6.6 hertz, 2 hertz below norm, the natural norm, results in a person feeling depressed. Okay? If you had a demon, if you were possessed, and I talked about last night, I talked about last night about the different principalities, 7 of them. One of them is about depression and suicide. So that means that that demonic entity can project into the body once he possesses it, can manipulate the DNA structure of the individual that he's possessed down to 6 hertz. By possession causes depression. And infiltrating into the mind can cause suicide naturally. By them directing 6.6 hertz or below to the individual or individuals in a town, a house, a state, whatever they cover, that grid square or that state will cause depression, apathetic feelings. However, if they're on a, let's say hypothetically, a march, or a flash mob, and they target that location with 10 to 11 hertz, 2 hertz above norm, the result of that, they discovered, causes riot rage behavior, and the people don't know why. Anthony Sutton, I've played before, talks about that in detail. You get the idea? What's the defense against it? Prayer. Fasting. Prayer is energy. Prayer is your spirit talking to God. And God covers it all. When you call upon Him, He can override these things. That's the point. You see what you're up against? So when they say, well, there's more of us than them, they're not counting the casualties. It's not even happened yet. These people out here that's calling out that revolution and lock and load and we're going out and do this and do that, yeah, have no idea what they're up against. Their intelligence estimates are lack. And they're leading their followers to a massacre. Or to defeat on purpose. Some of them are deceived themselves. It's hard to say which ones are. But they are not doing a proper intelligence estimate whatsoever. The medications, the Singulair and Advair are linked to suicide. It says FDA. They've been cited in young people's deaths. And those who knows what happens when the drugs are mixed with mood stabilizers, insomnia, pain pills, anti-anxiety, antipsychotic pills. Oh, it goes on and on. Combinations that's never been tested for safety. So in June, Marine Times reported 32 deaths on prescription drugs in their warrior transition units since 2007 and said the internal interview that found their biggest risk factor may be putting a soldier on numerous drugs simultaneously called polypharmacy. What's going on today? Our troops have been targeted. You can't even say by our own government. It's the Luciferians and the secret societies at the general level, at the highest level of government and European government. Luciferians, secret societies, is what we're talking about here. Some instances that happened, there's a high percentage of civilian deaths on psychoactive drugs. It's the clearest indication that military life is not the only cause of these troop suicides, because in September, some time ago, there was 18 civilian suicides, 11 murders, 2 murder-suicides, and other type of violence that linked the people to using antidepressants. Your shooters in these schools like Columbine, Fort Hood, that shooter, Virginia Tech, they're on Prozac. The drugs help. There was a 54-year-old respiratory patient, had a breathing tube, an oxygen tank, no previous criminal record, held up a bank in Mobile, Alabama. She had gone off for antidepressants. I saw an article, it's a report, a video, earlier today, where a woman tried to drive her vehicle and three kids into the surf of the ocean. They had to pull her out and save her. Don't know why. She had a funny look in her face, and she went. A 58-year-old armadillo man with no criminal history tried to abduct three people, killing an Oklahoma grandmother in the process. He had an antidepressant in his blood, said police. Also in the 30-day period, a 60-year-old grandmother in Seattle killed three family members and herself. A disc jockey in Bristol, UK, set himself on fire. Exeter, UK man, was determined to have stabbed himself in the heart. All were on antidepressants. Month of September, legal proceedings began against two mothers and a father charged with killing their own children. I say something funny is going on. I don't mean it funny, huh? I mean funny peculiar. 20 people set themselves on fire. 10 bit their victims, including a biter who was sleepwalking and a woman on Prozac. Bit her 87-year-old grandmother in critical condition. Three men in their 70s and 80s attacked their wives with hammers. Many stabbed their victims. One even stabbed furniture after killing his wife. Family. Something's not right here. 14 parents drowned their children. Never heard of before 2001. Andrea Yates, remember her? She drowned her five children. Mother, while she was taking antidepressant, Effexor, E-F-F-E-X-O-R. Manufacturer's wife now fights her. Oh, my. Pfizer, P-F-I-Z-E-R. Oh, my. Anyway, issued no public warning about it. Well, that's interesting. How about the North Carolina pilot on Zoloft? He's saying, I'm going down for the last time into the cockpit voice recorder before he crashed his plane in June. And the mayor, Coppell, Texas, Jane Peters, killed herself and her children in July over the grief of losing her husband. Police found antidepressants at the home. So it begs the question, why don't doctors and media outlets publicize the names of these volatile drugs? Well, one answer is, a lot of the doctors and nurses, either Freemasons or Eastern Star, aren't they? Septal implants were put in the noses by controlled dentists, doctors. Mm-hmm. Gary Coles, a Minnesota family practitioner, op-ed written after Iraqi veteran Matthew Magdus killed his pregnant wife, 13-month-old daughter, their dogs, and himself, Wisconsin, last August. When are people going to learn? And the people doing these things, allowing it to happen, not saying anything, they themselves will be killed. They're going to use them till they're used them up. We're coming to the end of the program, and I'm going to go into it again tomorrow. I think I need to cover this in more detail about the attack on American soldiers and American military. And the microwaving in Iraq, what they did there for practice, is unbelievable. Matter of fact, Pat Tillman was coming back to raise all kinds of cane about Bush and Iraq. And They can't decide really how he is killed. First enemy fire, then friendly fire, and then five times in the head. So, Senator Schaefer, she was after Child Protective Service. Child Protective Service pretty much works for CIA to capture, kidnap children, provide them for their use of the ones they profile. I don't mince words. And so Senator Schaefer was cramping down on Child Protective Service, and you can read her scathing report. Well, she is killed by her husband, shot in the back while she slept, and then he killed himself, but they can't decide whether he shot himself in the head or the chest. Family, tomorrow I'm going to continue on talking about the attack on American military and veterans. And I want to remind you all that we're played randomly up in highportradio.net, highportradio.net, Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, those three areas. And John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, is putting up an antenna every month to increase his broadcasting distance. He's focused on that. And y'all three up there, give him a hand. How about it? Search him out, highportradio@yahoo.com, because he plays our broadcast and our Bible studies randomly, but that's what he does for us. We appreciate that. KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network, simulcast our shows and Bible studies. And remind you that Monday nights, I'm on RevelationRadioNetwork.com, 8 to 10 p.m. Now, all this is in addition to my Monday to Friday broadcast, 4 to 6. And tonight, we have Bible studies, 7:30 to 9. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the supernatural and how they operate. And, family, the bottom line, very simply, is cutting generational curses out. Spiritual warfare. And there's your study. Y'all have a great evening. And know that Jesus Christ has already won on the cross of Calvary. Don't let him put fear into you, because that's what they want to do. When they get you in fear, then that's where your faith wavers, like Peter when he sank. Don't let them put fear in you. When you feel the fear coming, whether it's by technology or by supernatural, plead the blood of Jesus around you and stop them dead in their tracks. Because greater is he is in you. Family, have a great day. And seek victory, not defeat. With knowledge, wisdom, discernment, and the Holy Spirit on your side. Good night. God bless. This is Watchman for Jesus, signing off.
To get to sing this song on the show tonight. And as Mama would say, I hope you get a blessing out of it. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. So I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches, and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran toward the garden and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheets they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, but something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high. 'Cause I'd seen them crucify him, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. And everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night, God bless, and he'll return to his normal broadcasting. Signing off.